James, this series has definitely become LeBron somewhat versus the Golden State Warriors. Although Tristan Thompson had quite the offensive explosion for him in Game 5. You think he can do it again in Game 6?
I think, well, it's interesting. Like Tristan, they found a couple of instances where they could get him the ball on the inside with position, and he's good at scoring in that capacity. The problem is, he doesn't really create a lot of offense for himself. I mean, this is still the LeBron show. This is still, you know, the game plan is to slow the game down as much as possible, isolate LeBron, and then try to get a halfway decent shot for him or for one of his teammates, usually for him, considering how much he's shooting the ball. If Cleveland can get more points out of Thompson, that would be huge. I think they've needed more from him and from Shumpert and from J.R. Smith and from Mozgov throughout the series, but it's been hard to get it consistently from any of them. James has been the only guy who's really consistently been making things happen for them on offense, and I anticipate that will basically stay the same tonight.
If you are the Cleveland Cavaliers, is there any way to alter your offense that you feel you can be successful, or does it, you just have to say, well, you know what, we're going to ride LeBron and hopefully he doesn't need an oxygen tank and he'll play 47 minutes and he'll touch the ball in every possession?
Honestly, I've been kind of kicking around ideas in my head throughout this whole thing, but when they've had more ball movement, it hasn't necessarily worked any better. A lot of the times, once you start trying to play, you know, the sort of basketball that we all generally enjoy watching, right? Like when all five guys are involved, when the ball's zipping around the perimeter, when that works, that's awesome. That's the best way to play. I think we've seen that. But when you have this sort of roster and you're going against this amazing Golden State defense, that can also result in a lot of turnovers. And then you're looking at the Warriors getting out in transition where they just feast. And Cleveland doesn't want to be put in that position. They want to play a very conservative style. They want to slow the pace down and make things as difficult as they can for Golden State. So I think they don't have a ton of options. They can make subtle adjustments. They can try to take advantage of certain matchups. But the only real advantage that they have, the only way that they can consistently get anything done, at least that we've seen so far, and I don't have any brilliant ideas, is to just go to LeBron James and just ride him. And when he's been off the court in these finals, it's been a disaster. He's essentially the one creating on every possession. And honestly, I think, you know, they're down in the series, but really it's worked. They've been competitive even in the losses. They've done a lot better than, frankly, I would have thought they could with this roster. This is the least talented offensive supporting cast I think we've ever seen from a team in the finals. The only other ones that even come to mind as being similar were the LeBron James supporting cast that was there in 2007 when you had, like, I think it was Drew Gooden and Boobie Gibson as the number 2 and 3 scorers, and then maybe the Iverson Sixers in 2001. But even those teams didn't rely on one guy to the extent that this Cavaliers team has, and I do think it's given them their best shot to win. And I'm even if it ends tonight, even if it's a blowout tonight, I'll remain impressed by the fact they got two games against this amazing Warriors team.
James Herbert joins us, NBC Sports NBA writer. LeBron James, if they lose, do you believe he is going to become the first player since 1969 to be named, and really only the second all-time to be named the MVP on a losing team?
I do. I should amend that. I don't know what the media will do, but if it's me personally voting, and then if this game goes the way that most of them have gone in this series, then yes, I think he should be Finals MVP. I think if you're not going to give it to him, then you just there's never going to be a scenario where you would give it to somebody on the losing team, because I can't imagine anybody doing more than LeBron is doing for his team right now. I think the gap between him and, say, Andre Iguodala, who's been the Warriors' best consistent performer, at least in this series, is immense. And then maybe, you know, if Stephen Curry has a huge game tonight and they clinch it, maybe he gets it. But to me, I just think LeBron has easily been the best player in this series and the most impactful one. And there are so few players, I think, in the history of basketball that could have pulled this off the way he has in terms of just being competitive and winning two games. And I mean, after three games, it seemed like they were in control of the series. And In the last game with 5 minutes left, it was a one-point game. I think what he's done is incredible. If you just philosophically think that the finals MVP shouldn't come from a losing team, then that's fine. But then, like, you know, it's not LeBron's fault. Like, he couldn't have done any more than he has. And I think if you don't give it to him now, then you never give it to somebody on the losing team.
What do you think happens with Kevin Love in the offseason? Is he re-signing in Cleveland? Is he going to test the free agent waters? What's happening?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because, I mean, he's obviously a great player, and I don't think, you know, this season didn't go as he totally planned, but they did still have an excellent end to the season. In the regular season with him and Kyrie Irving and LeBron all playing together, I think he got a little bit more comfortable in the system. I didn't love the way he was used in the offense all year. I think he has to make some improvements defensively. You're seeing in the playoffs that they've been better defensively without him. But I think, you know, they traded two number one overall picks for him. They decided that he was going to be a main part of their future. And everything that the Cavs are saying from general manager David Griffin indicates that they want him back. Everything that Kevin Love says publicly indicates he wants to be back. Privately, I'm not sure if Love intends to look at other options. I think there will be plenty of other options to look at and teams that would make him the number one guy instead of the number three guy. So it'll be interesting to see if when it actually comes down to it, Love does consider going somewhere else, because I think there are situations basketball-wise that probably make more sense for him. But in Cleveland, he does have the best chance to win, and I think they're perfectly willing to give him a max contract. It's just obviously worked out very differently than anybody expected it to when he came there. I mean, I don't think anybody thought after he went down that they'd still make it to the finals and that we'd be talking about Tristan Thompson as potentially getting a max contract too. It's a really interesting situation. If I'm Love, I think the best scenario would be signing a one-year deal and then becoming a free agent in 2016 when the cap rises. And then maybe then you look at the other options. Maybe by then you've also really found your place in Cleveland, because, I mean, if you look at the Miami Heat when they had their big three, they didn't really understand how to play with each other totally until that second year either. So I think you could see them better next year if he comes back. I think it's still the most likely scenario that he does return to Cleveland, but there have definitely been more questions raised based on what's happened in the postseason.
You mentioned max contract. I watched Kevin Love play. Like, I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a max player.
Well, I would have said coming into the season he was a top five player in the NBA. I mean, this is a guy that in Minnesota, he averaged like 26 points and 13 rebounds, and they missed the playoffs, but their point differential was pretty damn good. They beat a lot of good teams. I think he is not as well-rounded a player as you'd want, especially the way that the NBA is going. I mean, defensively, he has trouble with sticking with smaller guys. He has trouble on the inside sometimes. He's not a rim protector. And I think you want versatile guys to play that position more and more, like you're seeing Draymond Green and Golden State do at that power forward spot where he can guard point guards and centers. And then Kevin Love has enough trouble guarding power forwards. But Love is an incredible offensive talent. You can run through him. He can spot up. He can play fast or slow. He's a great rebounder. He's a great passer. I think when you talk about max contract, it's a little bit weird now because the salary cap is going up next year, and a max contract is going to be a very different thing a year from now than it is right now. I just think he's too talented a player, and he's still pretty young too, that I would still put him in that range where he's, you know, a top maybe 15, 20 player in the NBA just based on how good he is offensively. And I think those guys historically, like, those guys get the max. I mean, Gordon Hayward got the mini max last summer, and I wouldn't, despite how the year went for Love, I wouldn't now say he's not in that category, you know?
And that's fair. I guess I just, you know, the great players to me are the ones who've got to be good at both ends. And Love's an average defender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he has room to grow on that end still. And I really hope that he does put more effort into that going forward, because I think he knows the criticism that he's getting now. And he knows there are people think that they're better off without him. And honestly, I hope that he's an absolute monster next season, because we've seen him be just extremely good on these Minnesota teams where he was the one that had to do everything, where he was the one that had to shoulder all of that offensive load and, you know, play those games on a Tuesday in January in Charlotte where nobody else is making everything and is making anything, and he's putting in all that effort. It's been a very different experience in Cleveland this year, and he's been way more under the microscope. But I think there are real things that he can improve with his game, and it'll be interesting to see if there are any changes next year.
James, appreciate it. Are we going to seven, or the Warriors going to win on the road?
I think the Warriors have got this.
Taking the Warriors.
I think they figured out the formula.
All right, man. Appreciate your time.